God. If Brian was sitting right here, God, he would say God. And guess what? He would have been right last week. What did we talk about, though? Come on. You need more. Y'all need more coffee or something. No, we didn't talk about love more this morning, but we talked about the different characteristics and the different things. When you think of God, what do you think about? Creator, almighty, sustainer of life, merciful, gracious, kind, loving, all of those things. Tonight, we're going to look at God the Son, or the Son of God. And when I say the Son of God, what comes to your mind? Come on. Savior? Jesus? You can tell she's worked with children for years. That's their answer. What else? Son of God. High priest? The sent one? The way, the truth, and the life? Intercessor? Redeemer? Okay. Where do we see... I was talking with someone this week, and I said, you know, I went through the National GARBC Articles of Faith. You know, they don't have a separate listing for Jesus. I mean, we have a lot of things, but they don't have Jesus in here. Scripture, God, Holy Spirit, creation, fall of man, virgin birth. And Don and I were talking about it just before the service started. We know where Jesus is in here, but it's not like they gave him his own little paragraph. I went through the state directory. You know what? Scripture, God, Holy Spirit, devil, Satan, creation, fall of man, virgin birth. Kind of looks almost like this one. It's where it came, where it came from. And here, believe it or not, is ours, with the pages falling out. But that's because I read it once in a while. We actually, in our church articles of faith, have a very brief paragraph about who the Son of God is. And I will incorporate most of that in what we talk about tonight. Where is in Scripture the first place that we see Jesus Christ, or the Son of God? In the beginning. Somebody quote me the verse that goes with, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and Jesus was there beside of him. It's there. There's one even better than let us make man in our image. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. John 1:1-4. And we could go on to 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now we know that that's talking about sin and not sin, but to think that when God spoke in creation, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were present at that point of time. And when God spoke and said, let there be light, they were there. They were there through the whole creation process. He's not just God's Son. He is God. Because He's God. And as we go through Scripture and we look at it, He was with God and the Word was God. So He is equal with God. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have specific things that they do and they help us with. He was present at creation, because if all things were made through Him and without Him, nothing was made that was made, where was He? in the beginning. He had to be present at creation. He was with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, when on Thursday, when we ask children about Jesus, you know their answer? I'll give you their answer. He was born in a stable, born of a virgin. Because what do we teach in Sunday school? Now, we try, you know, and somewhere along the way, we haven't done a real good job of teaching them that, yes, Jesus was here at creation, but then many years later, he came to be born of a virgin, born in a stable, lived 33 and a half years, was put to death on a cross, was buried for 3 days, and he rose again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 and 4. Almost everybody who's ever worked in Awana memorized that verse, because it's really foundational to teach children. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is such a foundational and important part of our faith and relationship with him. Because if he died on the cross and was buried, and it ended there, we're sunk. He had to rise again. Because otherwise, he would just be like everybody else when they died. He had to come back to life. Without that shedding of blood, I would not have my sins taken care of, and neither could you. And if we look at Acts chapter 20, you might as well have your fingers limbered up to turn pages, because we're going to look at a lot of scripture. You know, most of the time we look at the Gospels and Acts when we want to see Christ and what he did for us. But we're going to look at some other places tonight. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross, and we know that. But when we communicate with people, do we communicate that clearly with them, that without that blood, there's no remission of sin? How about Hebrews chapter 9? One of these days, we're going to do a study through Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 22, and said, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." You know, and that is something we have to hold to. Because those people who say there's a different way, and Robert hit it on the head, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And it's through his blood that was shed for us that takes care of our sins. By spending 3 days in the ground, it proved that he was dead. They didn't do autopsies back then. They listened for breath, they felt for pulse. The reason they had to be buried 3 days was to prove that they were dead. They're had been people who they buried who really weren't dead, and they dug their way back out. That's the proof, historic proof, that a person is dead. And why did, when Lazarus died, his sisters say, "Oh, don't open that up"? How long have you been in the ground? 4 days. But why? What did they say? "He stinketh. Don't open that up, because he's rotten." Yeah, he's rotting flesh. 3 days, proof of death. Okay? Psalm 16. Psalm chapter 16, starting in verse 9, says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forever." That verse 10, that last line, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. 3 days in the ground, you're dead. 4 days, you're rotting. Why did he come back to life after 3 days? He did not see corruption. And after 40 days, he ascended to heaven. And where is he at now? Sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for you and for me. Back to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7.